What drives a nation to gamble everything on conquest? Between 1933 and 1945, Germany transformed from a depression-ravaged democracy into a war machine that nearly consumed Europe. Most accounts explain this through ideology or madness, but the truth is more unsettling. Hitler's catastrophic decisions emerged from a frighteningly rational assessment of Germany's economic position in a world dominated by American industrial might. This wasn't irrational fury, but calculated desperation. A leader who understood his country was falling behind and chose conquest over accommodation. The tragedy wasn't that Hitler misread global economics, but that he read them clearly and drew monstrous conclusions. Understanding this distinction matters, because economic anxiety didn't disappear in 1945. It merely changed forms, and the temptation to resolve it through aggression rather than cooperation remains one of history's most dangerous recurring patterns. Hitler's obsession wasn't primarily with Jews or communists, it was with America. By the 1920s, American workers produced twice as much per capita as Germans in most sectors, widening to 4 or 5 times in automotives and electronics. This revealed a stark truth. The 20th century would belong to continental-scale economies, leaving Germany vulnerable as a medium-sized trading nation. Where pragmatic politicians like Gustav Stresemann pursued integration with the American-led economic order, Hitler viewed this as national suicide. Through his anti-Semitic lens, American economic power represented Jewish world conspiracy manifested through Wall Street, transforming a real economic challenge into an existential racial struggle. Hitler believed Germany faced a stark choice: aggressive expansion to secure resources and territory, or gradual reduction to the status of Switzerland and Holland, prosperous perhaps, but politically irrelevant. For a leader convinced that nations either dominated or disappeared, there was no middle ground. This binary thinking would drive every major decision of his regime, turning economic anxiety into apocalyptic urgency. The fragile stability of 1920s Germany shattered when the global economy collapsed. Hitler's party surged from 2.5% of votes in 1928 to 18.3% by September 1930. The Depression destroyed both employment and faith in democratic governance. Chancellor Heinrich Brüning's deflationary policies, though economically orthodox under gold standard rules, proved politically catastrophic. As unemployment doubled, austerity seemed like ideological rigidity rather than necessity. The cruel irony: recovery had begun by late 1932. Had Brüning's government survived another year, the Nazi moment might have passed. Instead, agricultural interests and nationalist conservatives made a fatal miscalculation. Convinced they could control Hitler while exploiting his popular support, they pressured President Hindenburg to appoint him chancellor in January 1933. Former Chancellor Franz von Papen assured skeptics that with only 3 Nazis in an 11-member cabinet, "We've hired him." Within months, this hired radical had consolidated total power. The Depression's deeper impact was psychological. It shattered faith in international cooperation and liberal democracies simultaneously. If following the rules, maintaining the gold standard, honoring debts, pursuing free trade, produced only misery, why not try something radical? This crisis created space for alternatives that would have seemed unthinkable during the prosperity of the mid-1920s. Within days of taking power, Hitler revealed his priority: rearmament. By June 1933, Finance Minister Hjalmar Schacht approved a staggering 35 billion Reichsmark military program over 8 years, representing 5 to 10% of annual GDP, dwarfing Weimar's military spending. Financing this required creative subterfuge. Schacht created Meffo GmbH, a shell company issuing bills accepted by all German banks and guaranteed by the Reichsbank. This off-budget system allowed massive military spending without alarming foreign creditors. contractors received interest-bearing IOUs rather than cash, a financial time bomb that could only be defused through economic expansion or conquest. Simultaneously, Hitler's government suspended debt payments to foreign creditors, resuming only when trade surpluses emerged, effectively forcing creditor nations to purchase German goods for repayment. The economic controls transformed German business. Every firm joined compulsory organizations, creating unprecedented state oversight. Foreign competition vanished as imports were restricted to items that couldn't be produced domestically. Rising demand without competition allowed substantial profits, though the regime capped dividends at 6% to prevent embarrassingly large executive bonuses. German capitalism hadn't been abolished. It had been harnessed to military expansion. Hitler's territorial ambitions stemmed from Germany's economic constraints. In 1935, German per capita income was roughly half America's, about $4,500 in modern terms, comparable to present-day South Africa. Consumer goods standard in American homes remained luxuries for Europe's upper middle class. A blue-collar household earning 2,700 Reichsmarks annually faced butter prices of 3.10 Reichsmarks per kilogram. Germany's critical weakness was agricultural dependency. Nearly 30% of the workforce farmed, yet the nation couldn't feed itself without imports. Hitler viewed this as race death. Urban overcrowding, reducing birth rates, emigration of talented Germans, and resource scarcity preventing American-level prosperity. Rural conditions remained primitive, with barefoot school children and elderly farmers using worn cattle to pull basic plows. Lebensraum, living space in Eastern Europe and Russia, was Hitler's solution. While Britain and America controlled agricultural heartlands across continents, Germany was confined to Central Europe, vulnerable to blockades during conflict. Eastern expansion would provide agricultural resources and settler territory, placing Germany on equal footing with Anglo-American continental powers. By 1941, Hitler's conquests deepened Germany's resource crisis. Despite controlling Western Europe, coal stocks showed a 40 million ton deficit, forcing 25% steel production cuts. Without Soviet grain and oil, collapse loomed. Operation Barbarossa was Hitler's solution. Eliminating Russia would rob Britain of its dagger on the mainland while unleashing Japan in the Far East. After conquering Eastern Lebensraum, Germany would be ready for war against continents. But the Wehrmacht encountered history's first successful developmental dictatorship. Soviet factories beyond the Urals produced shocking quantities of tanks and aircraft. When temperatures plunged to -25°F, the unprepared Wehrmacht suffered massive frostbite casualties. The Red Army counteroffensive pushed German forces back 100 to 150 kilometers from Moscow. Hitler's gamble catastrophically failed. Rather than defeating the Soviets before America entered the war, his invasion cemented the anti-Nazi coalition. Germany now faced American industrial might, British determination, and Soviet manpower, with no path to victory. The final years revealed Hitler's economic logic taken to its apocalyptic conclusion. The 1944 production surge occurred through unlimited repression, the SS police state imported directly into war manufacturing. Speer and the Jägerstab maintained a hotline to Auschwitz, calculating Hungarian Jewish labor into production schedules while victims were processed for gas chambers. The damage remains almost unbearable. Over one-third of German men born 1915-1924 were dead or missing, rising to 40% for those born 1920-1925. Germany's cities lay in ruins, its economy shattered, its population traumatized. Yet, ironically, the logic Hitler rejected ultimately prevailed. Parliamentary democracy, American alliance, and European integration, all approaches Hitler dismissed as national suicide, became foundations for post-war German prosperity. The Federal Republic achieved the affluence Hitler sought through exactly the international cooperation he had spurned. The tragedy wasn't that Hitler's economic diagnosis was entirely wrong. Germany did face real constraints in a world dominated by continental-scale towers. The catastrophe was his conclusion that these constraints required conquest and racial domination rather than cooperation and integration. Economic anxiety is legitimate. The question is whether we respond with openness or aggression, partnership or domination.